expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
In black. My name's Nick Gardner. I'm coming to you live from Reading in the great, soon to be the great state of Jefferson. We're at KCNR 1460 AM 96.5 FM, and we're going to call this Stir the Pot because we're going to stir the pot today. I am so fortunate to have my good friend Dale Ball on with me. Dale, say hi.
Good morning, listeners. Remember, you can call in and ask us some great questions today.
Hey, you know, I thought everybody had seen the documentary on YouTube, Seattle is Dying. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Dale Ball, Reading would be dead. Dale put together a organization called Shasta Support Services, and they have literally cleaned up hundreds of tons of environmental waste left behind our homeless brothers and sisters that just can't seem to pack out what they pack in. Dale, you were cleaning up yesterday, weren't you?
Yes, we were. We were down in Anderson Creek yesterday, which is a tributary right into the Sacramento River, and we pulled out 3,020 pounds, and there's still a lot more down there. We just got the trailer so stuffed we had to call it a day.
How often do you clean up down there?
Not a lot in Anderson because they're pretty good about not allowing illegal camping. They actually enforce the law. We had APD out there before the cleanup, and 14 people went to jail.
All right.
Unlike in Reading here where nobody goes to jail, nobody gets a citation, they just all get to sit there and watch us clean up, then they move right back in.
That's the gist of the program today. I have proposed a 1 cent countywide sales tax to build a 500-bed jail. It's support, it's staffing, it's all the maintenance and all the costs associated with a new jail, 500 beds. The police would be able to arrest somebody and put them in, and they would be booked, and they'd have to stay there. Right now, as it is, they arrest somebody on a misdemeanor charge, and they're probably out and back on the street before the police officer finishes his paperwork. And, you know, it's just getting to where it's not acceptable anymore.
It's not. And I feel for the officers. I mean, to do a job every day, keep arresting the same person, has to have a little bit of, you know, depression. Yeah, exactly. Well, we can see an awful lot of people. Our chief of police just put in his letter of resignation.
Yeah, I'd quit. You guys don't want my services anymore. You know, I was at a function at the by the way, we've got some announcements to get to, but we'll get to them. We wanted to know what our subject was going to be today. I was at a women's leader presentation at the Cascade Theater. I believe it was a week ago, Thursday night. In fact, Julie Winter, the Honorable Mayor of Reading, senior pastor at Bethel, the Church of Supernatural Ministry. I refer to her as Sue, your neighbor, Julie, but that's a different story. Maybe we'll do a segment on that sometime. But they had Julie Winter up there. Brian Dolly's wife, Megan, was the announcer that kind of ran the show. And they had two gals from the Assembly and the Senate from Sacramento who are leaders. And they tried to present them as nonpartisan, but the whole crowd was all the progressive and liberals that I see all of those kinds of functions. And I don't know why they didn't have a picture of Nancy Pelosi up there. She's a leader. She's third in line for the presidency. And Maxine Waters, who's the head of the Finance Committee, I don't know why they weren't up there. Their pictures, they're something to be proud of. But as I left, there were three police officers out front, and I started talking to him, and I asked this one officer, I said, if you catch somebody breaking into my car around the corner and stealing something, are you going to arrest them? And he says, no, that's a misdemeanor. I have to give them a citation. And I said, okay, well, if I walk around the corner and catch somebody breaking in my car and I beat him up, he says, you'll be arrested for assault. And you know what they've done is they've made the perpetrator the victim and the victim the perpetrator. And this is state law. I don't think this leaves a real good taste in the mouth of the police officers.
Well, it is state law, but it's also people can be arrested for a misdemeanor. And I think our city needs to start taking a little tougher stance on that, because I watch people out in the county in Shasta Lake City and Anderson getting arrested for misdemeanors all the time. We saw 14 of them yesterday.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't have room in the jail. Tom Bozinko has told me time and again, if they arrest somebody and book them, they have to release somebody. That's how full the jail is.
Oh, yes. We are releasing people not because of state law, not because of AB 109, Prop 47, Prop 57. Because even under 47 and 57, you can keep somebody up a year on a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
We're not keeping them for a day. So it's not the state law problem. This is definitely a local problem, because we have a capacity problem because we failed to build jail beds. We've given the state back over $50 million when we could have had two facilities.
Hey, we've got Matt on the line. Matt, what's shaking, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, Nick?
I'm doing as good as I can.
I have a lot of respect for you guys. I really do. But the answer isn't to give this corrupt government another dime. What needs to happen is we need to start taking money from their salaries and the pension of corrupt government officials that are serving their own interests and not the community. Why are we paying the city of Reading managed
to
deteriorate into a poop hole?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Matt. But, you know, realistically, that's not going to happen.
I don't mean to be rude to you, Nick. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for you. But at the same time, these people are so corrupt. Every time they get some kind of tax, they find some kind of loophole to give themselves raises.
Well, that's the city, the city manager you're talking about, not the county.
Well, the county's just
as bad. Well, I'm talking about the whole community.
I agree with you.
The government in Shasta County has been nothing but a fraud upon the public for over a decade.
That's right.
Longer than a decade.
There are many decent people within the system, but the entire management of our government in this community needs to start facing the consequences of the crap that they're pushing.
That's right.
They'll spend 4 hours. Listen to me for a second. They'll spend 4 hours arguing about chemtrails, but shoot Jefferson down. They're not interested in addressing the issues. They're interested in using any excuse possible to get more money out of us. I'm a working American citizen. And I'm telling you, if our country collapses, these people in our government are the first ones going to face the consequences of the chaos.
I hope so.
Because they're not representing us anymore.
That's right.
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Matt. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the bottom line is, we have elected our city councils and our boards of supervisors, and except for a minority of them, they get into office and they decide that their job is to tell us what to do and how to live. They forget the fact that we put them in there to represent us. As far as this tax goes, you know, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, but you know, if it's a specific tax, it's got to pass by a two-thirds majority, and by law, that money can't go to anything else but what it was specified for. That's why I want it to be a specific tax for a jail. They can't rob it and take it anyplace else. I agree with you. This is the solution I've come up with. If you've got a better solution, anybody else, I'm willing to listen. If you don't like my solution, if you don't have a better solution, then you're happy with the status quo. That's my attitude, Matt. Thanks for calling, buddy. Oh, we got somebody else on the line. I can't read it from here. Can you read it?
I think that says Richard's on the line. Hello, Richard.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Pretty good for a couple of working stiffs.
Hey, I'm with you. So we had the groundbreaking of the Veterans Clinic the other day on Knighton Road.
Yeah.
And I put a few things on some of the local media Facebook pages regarding, I think there's some backdoor considerable money being made by Mr. Johannesson. Not necessarily illegal, but in my opinion, unethical, because I think what happened was, and I have documentation for all this, and some of the facts I got from Reading.com, they did a couple stories on this clinic in the last couple of years. But basically what I'm reading in online and in documentation that I've got from the Veterans Affairs, the federal side. It sounds like Mr. Johannesson, when the Veterans Home was opened on Knighton Road in 2010, the following year, Mr. Johannesson buys the parcel across the street, which just that in itself kind of lends yourself to thinking, what does he know that somebody else does not know? You know, and here we are 8 years later, and now a $15 million clinic is being opened, which I'm a veteran, and I appreciate that. However, if you look at the facts, there is $3.4 million of rent that is going to be paid every year for 20 years, either to the landowner or the developer for this new clinic. Now, I'm still waiting on certain documents to find out where that, so 20 times 3.4 million, over $60 million in the next 20 years is going to be paid for rent to somebody. And I'm kind of real curious as to where that money is going. Now, Johannesson has served in the state Senate. He has served on the state Veterans Affairs Board. And one of the record Searchlight stories even says that this is a long time in the making, this clinic. And, of course, I'm sure Johannesson has had in the last 15, 20 years something to say about it with his previous positions that I mentioned. So now that he's retired, good for him. But it sure looks to me like he took a long-term approach, 10 to 20-year approach, to making a buttload of money off of the taxpayers.
Hey, listen, Richard, to me,
I don't think that's right.
I agree with you. You know, and there's a lot of things in our legal system and such that might be legal, but they're not right. And a lot of people think,
absolutely not. Here's the deal, Nick. I've got the prospectus paperwork from the VA and how the VA looks for land for VA projects nationwide, how they decide if they're going to lease or purchase the land. I have all that paperwork from the VA itself. And there's no reason the VA could not have just outright purchased that land from the owner, in this case, Johannesson, for a tidy little profit. No big deal, right? This is a capitalist society. And then everybody moves on, and then the VA would wholly own that property. But instead, and the VA does this all over the country, they do these 20-year leases, guess what, with option to buy after 20 years. Why don't they just buy the darn land immediately and get the landowner out of it and not have to pay $60 million in 20-year leases? Because I guarantee you that land, I have the assessor's document from the county, that land is only assessed at $450,000.
Hey, Richard.
Why? Yes.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Ashley's over there with a gun. I'm so late on the break, and we're going to have to cut you loose. You make a good point.
Like I say,
you know, a lot of things are legal, but they're not right, and this sounds like this falls right into that category.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Richard.
I just want to, you know, I appreciate your time, guys, but Mr. Johannesson, he does not deserve all the pats on the back.
You know what?
For other reasons, I'd
be getting a hold of the Veterans Affairs. There's got to be someplace you can file a complaint and say, hey, this isn't right. You need to investigate that.
Well, again, like you said, it's not illegal, but it's nefarious.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, we're going to go off to a break. Ashley's probably got some rock and roll for us to hear any second now. We're going to get back to our subject about our crime problem here in Reading. So anytime you're ready, Ashley.
That's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know. nationally, and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
You know, speaking of wayward sons, I had my 50-year class reunion last night down at Wind River, and there were some wayward sons down there, I'll tell you. And quite a crew hanging out down there, playing the slots and everything. I walked around, and boy, I'm even more against that move over next to Interstate 5 when I saw some of these buzzed people are going to be on our freeway. Listen, I got to make an announcement. I've got three, but I'm going to spread them out. Monday, June 3rd. At the VFW Post in 1934 on Oregon Street, a meeting for vets who have something to say about the VA clinic. Come to it at 12:30 p.m. A vet advocate will be there. And there's something nefarious going on with the vets. They shipped some guy up here from Chico because he had too many complaints down here. So they've shipped him up here, and he's causing a lot of trouble up there. Maybe this will be a place where you can express your frustrations. Okay, we've got Terry on the phone. What's going on, Home Skillet?
Hey, buddy. I've got a couple of questions, and maybe Dale can write them down because I think they're important. I think they're a real key to this one-cent tax that is being advocated for. First of all, Julie Winters had made the comment that if Reading were to pass a tax, a one-cent sales tax, that Reading proper would pick up approximately $25 million. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's take that and let's look at the county. The county has about 180,000 people, maybe more. So it's probably fair to say that with the $25 million that would be raised in Reading, there may be approximately $10 million, I think that's fair, to make it a total of $35 million. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Very fair.
Okay, so let's take it, and it's probably a minimum, but let's use the minimum. Let's say it takes $20-25 million to run the jail and to have that done every year. Now, that means we're going to have an excess. Now, I know Carl on the radio program the other day had suggested maybe we use the excess for the DA or something like that.
No deal. No deal.
No, let me finish.
No, you're stealing my idea. You let me finish. No, I'm just kidding you. Go ahead.
Let me finish. Okay, so the thing is that I think that this money needs to go, as you have said, and rightfully so, totally to the jail only. What we have to do is figure out when there is an excess, which there will be at 1 cent, there will be an excess. If there is one, what happens to that money? Does it go back to the people? That's number one. That's the first thing I'd like to hear about. Where does that excess money go? Because there will be excess money. And the second thing is, We've talked about a sunset clause. How does the sunset clause work? And in putting that sunset clause in there, we have to make sure that if it's not activated, if need be, that the supervisors are on the hook for this, that they are in trouble for this. You said this was against the law in a two-thirds vote, that if it went anywhere else, it would be against the law. What makes you think that a Board of Supervisors who has broken the Brown Act already and has done things that maybe are not totally above board at times, what makes you think that they would adhere to this? I'm not saying that they won't. I'm just saying that, what would we put in there as a provision, and I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
I was here on Carl Bott's show Thursday, and Trish Clark was here, and she widened out the new jail-only staffing to maybe include staffing the old jail. And, you know, I might not have a problem with that. But then, you know, Carl jumped on that. Well, what are we going to do with the excess? We could go to the DA's office or the probation. And absolutely not. We cannot do that because that just opens a little crack that they're going to stick a crowbar in there and start stealing money everywhere. It's got to be cut and dried. As far as the excess goes, I don't see any reason why we couldn't start an account with Stanley Morgan and put it in an account and raise, save it up and collect interest on it. Maybe in about 10 years, we can look and see where we're at with that, and maybe we'd have enough interest to keep financing it, and the tax could go away. When it comes to 10 years, the voters should have the discretion whether they want this tax to go away or not. Who knows? We might need another jail in 10 years. And, you know, if 10 years isn't the right time for it, maybe we could vote on it every 5 years after that, but we need to take this decision out of supervisors' hands and give it to the voter.
Yes, definitely. And I think your idea of if we use this tax to fund the entire jail, then there would be a lot of excess money for the DA, which is, what, 14,000 cases backlogged right now?
Absolutely.
And things like that. But that wouldn't – by keeping it, one, like you said, if you put a crack, they'll use a crowbar. And while we're on this subject, I've just started going through emails that I got through a Freedom of Information Act, and he was bringing up Julie, and I just wanted to read this little thing here in her email. It says, the entire ecosystem needs fixing. The jail needs at least $2 million, which is way low. The DA, another $1 million. Probation, $1 million, guesstimate. And the Navigation Center, probably $2 to $3 million to run. RPD and code enforcement probably need another $3 million to be fully staffed. Just this stuff alone is $10 million. We're talking about serious, about a sales tax of 1% to do this, plus pave our roads and make our city amazing. Right now, we're just plugging holes in the dike. Julie, do you still not understand basic civics? Those are almost all county functions you mentioned. Why did you shut down the county tax that was going to try to fix all these with your city tax? Is it because you want the money to go into the general fund so you can spend it on parks and paving roads, not on public safety?
I'll tell you exactly where the money's going. The money's going to CalPERS. I hope we've got time to go over these statistics I have right here. Remember, the CalPERS gets paid before anything else gets paid. We taxpayers give the city and the county money for safety and for infrastructure. Now, if you go to public agency actuary valuation reports, CalPERS, you will find for Reading, between the years 2023 and 2035, the city of Reading is going to pay over $10 million a year for their safety. For their miscellaneous employees, it's $11 million a year. That's just kind of an average between those years. That's $21 million a year. The county, for their miscellaneous between the years 20 and 40, they're paying over $10 million a year. And that's safety, $10 million a year. For miscellaneous employees, it's $12 and $13 million a year. 1 year, it was $14 million. Now, if you take and add all that up, for the year 2024, and this is all verifiable. You can go to this. It's on page 18 of the actuary reports. The city of Reading for the year 2024 is going to pay $26.2 million for its unfunded pension liabilities. The county of Shasta is going to pay $22.9 million for its unfunded pension liabilities. Folks, that's $49.1 million, and that goes first. That's before anything else is paid. So if it's a safety tax or a general tax especially, if there's a downturn in the market, that figure's only going to go up. And I remember reading in the record Searchlight that the county had $123 million worth of unfunded health insurance. And you know what? That's not even taken into consideration CalSTRS. Our educational system is just as underfunded. These people represent us? I don't think so. It looks to me like the new royalty class of America is, just hosing us down is the best word I can come up with.
Well, here in the Communist Republic of California, I think these outlandish salaries, and then they're promised and people are retiring at 50, is just completely unsustainable.
Oh, boy, you talk about outlandish. Mike Warren, who I think is the worst thing that ever happened to Reading, is a retired city manager, is drawing in excess of $20,000 a month. And he feathered his nest down at Turtle Bay, and he's drawing a salary down there of $75,000 or $80,000. I don't know what it is anymore.
And then we've got, what, Leonard Modi, collecting city manager, $180,000
a year.
Plus his supervisor, $55,000.
Yes, uh-huh.
Double dipping.
And he knows what's best for us. Leonard Modi's going to – you know, that's another thing. They go into a back room, the supervisors and maybe probation and maybe the DA and a couple other big cheeses, and they make a deal. Then they come out and tell us, this is what we're going to do. We don't have anything to say about it. You know, you go to a city council meeting and you start expressing your attention and your subject, and you look at Leonard Modi, and he's down looking at his phone. He's not paying attention. Your 3 minutes is up. Thank you. So, anyway, hey, Terry, we're going to make an exception for you because you're so well-spoken. Go ahead.
I apologize for calling back, guys, but when you brought up the money, Dale, great job on that. You are spot on. But when you brought up that money, that seems to be all the places where the AB 109 money's going. And when Stephanie Bridget was on the radio the other day, I had asked her how much there was. She wasn't really sure. But she said it was in the millions. I said
around 9 million.
That's exactly correct. It's around $9 million. But she really didn't know where it went, other than the fact that the people on the board are probation, the sheriff, the police, the DA's office, and I forget who else.
The probation department gets the lion's share, almost $7 million.
Okay, well then you know all that stuff. See, that's the deal. So we're trying to find out, and what good is the probation department?
Well, they give everybody a hug down there, and they send them on their way. Okay. And every time we see a press release,
let me just finish my thought, and then I'll get off. And that is that. What about that money? How come that money isn't being shown where it all goes? And how come that money isn't being used more for the jail? Stephanie did say that the majority of that a lot of it was being used for the jail. Where in the jail? How in the jail? And when are we going to find out about that $9 million, where it goes? That's a lot of money. And, you know, that could be the money that the DA's, that everybody's looking for if we do this one-cent sales tax. But anyway, I just wanted to have you guys expound on that, and I'll get off and we'll bug you anymore. And you guys are awesome.
Thanks, Terry. I'll try to address it from the top. The third floor is being funded through that AB 109 money. Remember, we had one floor of the jail closed down for quite a while.
That's right.
And they opened it back up, 3 years ago, and I could be completely wrong on that. And that was funded through the AB 109 money.
That's when they filled it up in 18 hours.
Exactly. And also, I believe it's $500,000 is going to out of county. When we send prisoners out of county to Lassen or other counties, that's being funded through that AB 109 money also. But it's still a very small amount of that $9 million. We use most of the $9 million for what we call the liberal hug-a-thug programs that have no accountability. The recidivism rate is ridiculously high. They're failed programs. Most of the other counties like Butte, Modoc, Siskiyou, they use almost all their AB 109 money for incarceration. Lock them, lock these guys up when they keep reoffending. We don't. We think that we can just give probation all this money and they're going to do all these great programs and everybody's going to get a hug and they're all going to go home and not quit stealing.
Well, you know, probation did open up a day reporting center, and I think one person showed up. With that, we're going to have to go to a break real quick. I know Ashley's got some rock and roll up there. We're going to be popping around here. We're going to have a rockin' good time. KCNR in downtown Reading in the great state of Jefferson.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The state of Georgia's new heartbeat bill will go into effect at the beginning of next year. Governor Kemp recently signed HB 481, the Living Infants Fairness and Equality Act, otherwise known as LIFE, which prohibits abortions once a heartbeat is detected, as early as 6 weeks. Now, there are exceptions if the mother's life is in danger, for incest, or rape. Well, Pacific Justice Institute applauds the state of Georgia for doing the right thing, valuing life, and standing up for the most defenseless, the unborn. Common sense tells us a heartbeat equals life. Please pray that other states value life and do the right thing. Visit pji.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Here we are back. Hey, Monique, little sister, hang on just a second. I've got to make another announcement. Welcome home event for post 9/11 veterans and their families. A free evening at Waterworks Park, Saturday, June 15th, 6:30 to 10 p.m. Thank you for your service. It's limited tickets, so a registration is required. There's some kind of a website here, and I can't pronounce it. You can call at 925-270-6574. I'm sure if you call at Waterworks Park and tell them the June 15th at 6:30, welcome home veterans, that you'll get some information. And I'd like to say welcome home to our veterans, and I'd like to say welcome, Monique. What's going on, little sister? Are you there? She'll be back.
We lost one.
Hey, I wanted to talk about, you know, we had Amy Winehouse on before we took our break. I meant for it to be after our break. Rehab. You know, Amy didn't want to go to rehab. And, you know, when a judge sentences one of these ne'er-do-well criminals to rehab, you know, it doesn't work. It's like 30 days they can dry out, get fed, get healthy again, and go out and start stealing from us. And, you know, as a victim of a crime, say they break into your house and they steal grandma's heirloom, silver candle holders. They melt it down and sell it for scrap metal. And they take and they catch the guy. And they tell grandma, it's okay, we're rehabbing him. He was having problems. Well, you know, grandma might want him locked up for a little bit.
Exactly, and that's I see that all too much. I mean, Anderson Police Department did a Facebook post yesterday of the property that we cleaned up, and there was people on there wanting to make excuses, you know, wanting to, well, why did you arrest them, and they're not going to be able to pay the fines anyway. Well, we're a society of laws, rules, and regulations, and just because of somebody's ability to pay the fine shouldn't narrate whether or not they get a ticket or they get arrested.
Well, there's no sense giving him a ticket. Donnell Dewert, he had a homeless court, and out of 50 participants, one showed up.
Oh, that's you know, 2% show-up rate, that's pretty good.
We're going to have a little segment on Donnell also. But, you know, there's got to be some accountability. You know, if you take and lock somebody up for a misdemeanor in our new 500 jail facility, after about 6 months of sitting in there and drying out and getting clean and watching the Disney Channel and the Weather Channel, because that's all we're going to let them watch, maybe they'll want to have a lucid conversation about how they could maybe clean up their act and rejoin society.
Definitely. Well, we need some accountability.
Sure.
As you stated, accountability for their actions, for the criminal behavior, just like these private property owners. When they're getting fines of $30,000, $40,000, or they're having to pay companies $20,000, $30,000 to come in and clear out all this trash off their property because of what these illegal camping and other things are doing, what about those people? What about those elderly people that are barely making it paycheck to paycheck on their Social Security, and then all of a sudden they've got to pay some company $15,000 to $20,000 to clean up all the trash off their property? I mean, that's not fair to them.
How about the business owner who they ruin his business and drive him out of business? He goes bankrupt. Doesn't he get any satisfaction? You know, you're not welcome to use the front of my store as your latrine and your garbage, you know? It just goes on and on and on.
Oh, the downtown businesses down here, it's ridiculous. We see posts all the time of people complaining and they have to come in to work an hour early to clean up all the feces in front of their stores, broken windows, harassing customers. It's just ridiculous. And my question to the city council, to the city manager is, you know, when is enough going to be enough? It's not that hard to enforce the law for all citizens. Doesn't matter your housing status, your income status. If you break the law, you go to jail.
You know, and if we were to build a jail and start locking up these misdemeanor and felon, you know, one thing we could do is make the old jail for felons and the new jail for misdemeanors, and Chief Mike Johnson from Anderson, with his navigation center he was proposing, he said we could arraign them on Skype instead of, you know, having to drag them back and forth to court. And there's just a multitude of things we could do. One thing I'd be in favor of is not giving credit for time served. That would make them want to plead out and get it done with, especially if they're guilty. You get some sharp pencil lawyer that drags it out for 6 months.
Yes, we definitely need an express lane on the getting them to jail. And I think the new COAP program that they've implemented has been doing that pretty well. I saw a guy that was arrested in Anderson about a month and a half ago, good old Mr. Dalton, a.k.a. Tennessee. And he's just been a nightmare in the Anderson community. And they put him in that program. And I just saw the DA's office Friday put a post up that they sent him to prison for 5 years, 6 months.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so he will no longer be harassing the citizens of Anderson, stealing bicycles, and just being a general nuisance in that city.
Well, you take old Falconetti. I refer to Falconetti as the 35-year-old guy with tattoos up to his neck and his name on his neck and maybe a couple on his face that's in and out of trouble all the time. We could lock up Falconetti on a misdemeanor for 364 days, and when he gets out, and you're not going to rehab Falconetti. You know, the fact is you can't rehab somebody that's never been habituated to start with. You know, they don't know a trade. They're not going to learn a trade. All they know is to raise havoc on us people that want to live a simple life, work, pay our bills, and be happy. We can just keep locking him up for our safety, and I'm good with that. If that's the lifestyle he wants to live, if it's going to cost me a penny sales tax, I got no problem with that.
What we're doing now definitely isn't working. We've got to start coming up with some kind of solutions. We've been all talking about it for a long time. Unfortunately, it seems like the city leadership and the county leadership doesn't much want to get on board with that. And we did have this great plan Michael Johnson brought up, and it seems like Mr. Ewert quickly threw a roadblock in that and did a 180, and the money for that's now gone.
Okay, we're coming up on a break here. Maybe we can get that clip for Mr. Ewert on after this break, and we'll see where that goes. He's got an interesting thing to say about San Antonio's navigation center. And I, you know, Mike Johnson's navigation center might have been pretty good, but it was way too small. It's just a Band-Aid, 60 beds for low-level misdemeanors. I mean, you could fill that up at Henderson Open Space.
Just about.
Yeah, you know. Ashley, how are we doing? Good. She said dang good. In fact, she said it with a capital D. We got it going on around here at KCNR.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for Second Tuesday Dining.
That's great. So I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, June 11th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously agreed to donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
We read the wind and the sky when the sun is high. We sail the length of the seas on the ocean breeze. At night we name every star. We know where we are. We know who we are, who we are.
Away, away. We set a course to find. All right, here we are back. Hey, we've got a clip we're going to play that Danelle Dewert, is that his last name?
Ewert.
Ewert. Danelle.
E-W-E-R-R-T.
Donnell Ewert. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ashley. Let's play that trick. Listen closely to this.
So going back to the San Antonio model, which I've talked about numerous times, it's, I think, a very effective model. It's been proven to be successful. And I just want to remind folks that they, we're going to build a new jail in San Antonio because of their homeless issue and all the crime issues that they had. And instead, they invested in this homeless resource center and a variety of other mental health services. And now they have 1,000 empty beds in their existing jail. They did not have to build a jail. So they've been very successful in their efforts. And, you know, one of the takeaways that we, or one of the things.
Okay. Now, you know, I saw him present this and I got to thinking about it. And this was on a Tuesday, and Friday I decided to call up the San Antonio jail. And I explained to them what was presented to us, and I said, Let me ask you now, do you have 1,000 empty jail beds? And here's his reply. No. I said, do you have 500 empty jail beds? He said, no. I said, thank you. I think we've been lied to. Now, you know, this guy, Donnell, I'm not going to call him a liar, but his statistics certainly weren't accurate. And he is the guy that persuades the supervisors which way to go on many, many projects. He, in fact, allocates over $200 million of our money. He's drawing down a salary with benefits and everything of around $245,000 a year. And if I was a CEO and I found out that I was being fed misinformation like that, I would certainly call him onto the carpet. What do you think?
Well, I honestly can't believe he still has a job. I mean, he was directed very specifically by the Board of Supervisors to work with Stephanie Bridget for the DA's office, to work with Michael Johnson from Anderson, which he refused to do. Apparently, he threw a little fit about it, said they were mean to him. I guess it's high school. And Stephanie and Michael are probably the two of the nicest people I know. He was directed to go this way, and instead he did a 180 and went the complete opposite direction. He wanted, instead of doing the navigation center, he wanted to buy some houses and stick and do mini navigations in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, that just, and instead of having accountability like Michael Johnson wanted to, he wanted to do the housing first, no accountability.
You know, I further investigated San Antonio. If you go watch that YouTube video documentary, Seattle is Dying, they have a graph on there showing about 50 cities and their property crime rates. And Seattle was number two, second only to San Francisco. Guess what was number three?
San Antonio.
Who would have thought?
I was just going to say, all you have to do is... I saw the same presentation. I watched it online later. And as soon as he mentioned San Antonio, I was like, whoa, how is he using this for a model? So just Google crime and problems in San Antonio, and all these articles come up. I mean, the homeless problems are out of control there. So the fact that he would sit there and lie to our sitting supervisors and to basically the CEO, would be Larry Lease, and still has a job, I don't get it.
I furthermore investigated crimes in San Antonio, and this is for 2018. They had 121,500 thefts. They had 62,000 assaults. They had 29,000 burglaries, and they had 14,000 complaints of vandalism. And their navigation center was such a success, they didn't have to build that new jail, and they have 1,000 empty jail beds. To me, this is a bombshell. This is a big deal.
Well, you know, San Francisco has four navigation centers. How's that working for them?
I thought it was six. They're building more.
It might be six, and
I guess
right along with the poop app.
When Gavin Newsom became governor of San Francisco or mayor of San Francisco, he was going to have a homelessness eradicated in 10 years. And, you know, he made that same statement about California here a couple of months ago. Homelessness is going to cease to exist in California.
Unfortunately, homelessness, I've learned through the years, is a very big business. There's a lot of people getting very rich off all this government money, and the amount that actually makes it down to helping those who actually need it is a very small percentage.
And they're employing their kids and their nephews and nieces that went to college and majored in socialism or social crimes, social justice. Social programs.
Well, I definitely think these social programs, like you said, he's in charge of over $200 million down there on Breslauer Way.
Yeah.
And I think we need to take a little better look at how that money is being spent.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. And then furthermore, in San Antonio, between 2017 and 2019, when they do their point in crime count, their homeless population went up 17%. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's now over 3,000 homeless in San Antonio. I just don't imagine, I guess they probably think nobody's got the gumption to check on some of this stuff.
I've seemed to find that with a lot of government employees. They just say whatever they want to say. We saw Kristen Schrader do this for years on the homelessness. She just would make up whatever numbers she wanted. She would tell people whatever facts she thought she needed to say, even though they were completely untrue. I mean, she sent a letter to HUD over 50 pages. We fact-checked a lot of it, and every single thing she said was a complete lie.
Didn't she have some big cheese from Salt Lake City come out and tell us how they eradicated homelessness in Utah?
Lloyd Pendleton, he ran around the country getting rich by people like Kristen Schrader paying him to come and give his presentation on how they had eradicated homelessness. And all they did was change the way they counted people and fudged the numbers. Well, the problem is when you lie about things like that is 2-3 years down the road, when they're still homeless all over the streets and everybody who actually lives there finally starts getting, because the media was on a hush-hush there. That was a big thing. Oh, let's not report. And they didn't want to tell the truth. Well, it finally got out that it was a big scam. They had not cured homelessness in Utah whatsoever. They just changed the way they counted people.
I found some statistics on Salt Lake City, and they had a homeless shelter with 1,000 beds that sometimes had 1,300 people in them, and some of those people had been there for over 3 years, and they count them as housed. And they were building a couple other shelters that was going to add another 800 beds there, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if they've eradicated homelessness, what do they need 800 more beds for?
Well, you know, when it gets to the government, the way they do their numbers is pretty messed up. Even for the point in time count example, if somebody is out begging on the streets and buys themselves a motel net for the room for the night,
yep,
they're not considered homeless. But if they got a voucher from the county on a motel room and they're staying the night there in that motel room, they're still considered homeless.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it just depends on how they want to come up with their statistics. I dare say if you sent Jonathan Anderson up to, say, Boise, Idaho, to teach them how to run a homeless shelter, a rescue mission, that he would brag about all the good they do here in Redding. And they do a lot of good, but they attract some ne'er-do-wells also. And it certainly isn't the cure to our problems, because we have a problem still.
No. They're helping 200-300 people a year, but it seems like our influx of out-of-towners has gotten greater than that. But the influx of out-of-towners, I think, is more to do, because they're not the ones going to the mission. They're the ones in all these illegal camps, and the reason, and the parks and everything else here in Redding. And the reason we are overrun is because the city of Redding has refused to address this issue for almost a decade now.
Oh, they moved them from South City Park over to Park Marina, and from Park Marina over to Henderson Open Space. When they kick them out of Henderson Open Space, they go up to Bocelli Lane. They haven't booted them out of Bocelli Lane, but when they do, they're just going to go down the road someplace else. That's no cure.
Well, no, because they don't actually arrest anybody. They don't hold them accountable. They don't make them clean up their mess. It's a completely different attitude. We were just mentioning parks, and you can go down to the Anderson River Park and see families throughout the entire park having a good time enjoying the park. You can't do that in the city of Redding parks, because the city of Redding will not enforce the laws. We have laws that these parks are closed at night, no loitering, no alcohol, doesn't get enforced.
Yeah. You know, it's really frustrating. I got on the computer this morning, and Oakland has a heck of a problem. And they are, in fact, getting sued by some of their workers because of the potential for diseases that they are going to contract by cleaning up this homeless. But they've got Caltrans down in Oakland cleaning up under the underpasses, and they spent $30 million over the last 5 years cleaning up, and last year they spent $10 million. This is money that should go to be repairing our highways.
We have the same thing here in Shasta County. I mean, underneath all the bridges, I couldn't even imagine how many millions local Caltrans has spent cleaning up these illegal camps, cleaning up all the things, because people want to continue to hand out truckloads of free junk that just gets thrown in our waterways under these bridges.
I understand that the do-gooders up at Bethel, they're famous for taking out a couple of big bags full of clothing and just setting it down to the entrance of a homeless camp, and they just come along and take what they want and throw the rest out. You know, I was up at Fat Daddy's one day. I drove by working behind there, and there was a homeless guy laying on the pavement in his sleeping bag. Just, you know, this is about 8:30 in the morning. I looked at him. I says, boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to sleep on the pavement like that. And when I got done with what I was doing and come out, he was gone, and he had dumped over the garbage can. I mean, no rhyme nor reason, you know, and this is the kind of stuff that...
Destructive behavior.
We're leaving you for about 5 minutes. We're going to be back.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
tell me, Sister Murphy, when are you coming round?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the Trump administration is willing to talk with Iran with no preconditions.
We're ready to sit down with them. But the American effort to fundamentally reverse the malign activity of this Islamic Republic, this revolutionary force, is going to continue.
Pompeo in Switzerland today. Canadian lawmakers have voted to serve a summons on Facebook executives Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg.
The decision comes after Zuckerberg and Sandberg failed to appear before the International Grand Committee on Big Data, Privacy and Democracy, which was recently hosted by Canada's Parliament. The panel of international politicians is examining the role of tech giants in safeguarding privacy and democratic rights. New Democrat lawmaker Charlie Angus says the Facebook executives were showing disrespect to legislators around the world.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Israel attacked Syrian military positions in the country's south today.
Israel's military confirmed it targeted several military positions in Syria, including two artillery batteries, several observation and intelligence posts, and an SA-2 air defense unit. It said it was responding to two rockets launched from Syria, including one that landed in Israel. It didn't explode, it said. Video from the Syrian state news agency Sana showed the Syrian military's air defenses intercepting a strike. The agency quoted an unnamed military official saying the attacks struck military positions in the southern region of Qunitra near the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. I'm Zaria Shakili.
Flooding is wreaking havoc in towns across the Midwest this weekend. The temporary flood barrier in Burlington, Iowa failed, sending floodwaters from the Mississippi River crashing into the city's downtown. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy!
Economist Arthur Laffer will be receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
As President Reagan honored Milton Friedman with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1988, so now President Trump will honor Arthur Laffer with the Presidential Medal of Freedom this June 19th. His theory, the Laffer Curve, establishes the concept that lower tax rates spur economic growth, jobs, and investment, better known to some as supply-side economics. Now age 78, Mr. Laffer has been supportive of President Trump and co-wrote a book called Trumponomics: Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is our nation's highest civilian honor. George Bonzani reporting.
International leaders will gather again this week to honor the dwindling number of D-Day veterans on the 75th anniversary of the largest amphibious invasion in history. President Trump set to join a commemoration Wednesday in England and then travel to Normandy. News and analysis at townhall.com. The German government is extending a system of incentives to buy electric cars by 18 months.
The program launched 3 years ago was supposed to expire by the end of June, but demand for electric cars has remained disappointing. It's backed by a $1.3 billion fund, half financed by the federal government and half by the auto industry. Announcing the extension, Economy Minister Peter Altmaier said that we need continuity and support for electric cars. The incentives will continue at their current level. Buyers of purely electric cars will continue to get 4,000 euros, and people buying plug-in hybrids will get 3,000 euros. Altmaier said applications for the incentives have been rising, but more slowly than we had hoped. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 2nd, and a birthday for some famous people you might know, including comedian Dana Carvey. He's 64 years old today. Olympic gold medal soccer player Abby Wamba is 39 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
That is The Bridge by Led Zeppelin. And do you understand what's going on under the bridges? Up and down. You know, nothing's working from San Diego to Portland to Seattle. Nothing is working. We've got to do something different. That's why I'm proposing a new jail, a specific tax for a new jail. But I've got another announcement that I've got to make. This is the last one. Bear with me. The U.S. Army Reading Recruiting Company is hosting an Army birthday celebration on the 14th of June at 1310 Churn Creek Road, Suite E1 in Reading. It starts at 9. It gets over at 10 a.m. The event will be a cake-cutting ceremony and social events that bring leaders of veteran organizations and community leaders together in celebration of the Army's birthday. So, if you want a free piece of cake and probably some soda pop or some water or milk or something, pop on over there June 14th at 1310 Churn Creek Road between 9 and 10 a.m. Hope to see you there. So anyway, Anderson had a unique, solution to keeping people, our homeless brothers and sisters, from camping out under the bridges. They filled them up with riprap.
Yes, they did.
Big Caltrans rocks.
Caltrans put big giant rocks under the I-5 bridge there on Anderson Creek. And while there was a little bit of trash there yesterday, not nearly the 2 and 3 trailer loads that we've hauled out of there before.
Hey, let me ask you something, Dale. Is the hypodermic needle giveaway, you know, a junkie can just go in and get him a handful of needles anytime he wants, is that a state mandatory program, or is that something we do voluntarily here in Shasta County?
That, I do not have the specifics on whether it's a law or not. I know we do it here in Shasta County, and for the bucket loads that we've picked up, I don't think they're all getting returned or exchanged.
Well, you know, it just seems logical to me that if they're throwing their hypodermic needles around, they even find them in the sand up at Oak Bottom now that RABA, Reading Area Bus Authority, takes people back and forth out there, and thieving picked up since they started that program. They're throwing their needles around. I'd quit giving it to them. You know, it's a health hazard. And, you know, if they're a junkie and they're not getting free needles, they'd take damn good care of the needle they got, in my opinion.
Well, that's the problem, is they don't take good care of anything. They get brand new clothes, they throw them in the creek. Out of the 3,000 pounds yesterday that we hauled out, there was probably a good 1,500 pounds of that was just soaking wet clothing.
Good clothing?
Brand new, nice clothing. They've just been thrown in the creek because they don't care.
Why don't we start a used clothing store?
There you go. There's the million-dollar thought of the day coming to you from Nick.
Okay, let's move along. I've got something else now. I like to pick on CalPERS because it really leaves a sour taste in my mouth, you know. The working man is stuck with Social Security, and I'm very thankful to have it. In fact, that brings up a subject. I've come down with rheumatoid arthritis, and I'm taking 3 medications for it. And one is Praxnil, something like that. And I have the drug supplement, and I took it to the pharmacy, and it was $156 for this prescription out of my pocket. Well, I explained that to my doctor, and he said he got on the internet and he found a coupon, a good RX, and I took that in, and it was $26.
Oh, wow.
You know, so if you're paying out of pocket a lot, get on the computer and Google coupons for pharmaceuticals. And there's more than one out there. And, geez, it was just unbelievable. When I had all three filled, I think it was $205. Now when I have all three filled, it's like $35.
That's a huge difference there.
Oh, isn't it? And so anyway, let's get back to pensions. Now, I've got this deal right here that I found on the computer. A little history to begin CalPERS was, by its own calculations, 100% funded during the 1990s and into the first decade of the 21st century. So healthy, in fact, the state and local officials felt free to sharply increase pension benefits retroactively. You know, in 1999, the safety, they doubled theirs, paid it retroactive back, and this wasn't ever going to cost the taxpayers a dime. The miscellaneous didn't get as high of an increase, but they got a substantial increase. And all of a sudden, we had the dot-com bubble, we had a housing bubble, and we had the Great Recession. And now look at us. It's eating up our whole...
That's what they refer to as giving away the farm. Because they basically gave the farm away.
Yeah, and you mentioned it to somebody that's drawn $180,000 or $240,000 a year, and they'll tell you, oh, well, you know, we took our money and we invested it. Well, you know, our money was supposed to be in a lockbox, and the government took it and spent it on other things, and now all we've got is a bunch of IOUs in there. In fact, when the government goes belly up, you can't count on your Social Securities because it's a bunch of IOUs. Now, here is another pension. I got this off the computer. And it says, Lompoc is not the only public entity in California that's feeling the effect of CalPERS on its budget. According to a study completed by Stanford University professor Joe Nation in 2017, employer contributions to CalPERS could double between the fiscal years of 2017 and 18 and 2029 and 30. You know what? Double. That's a lot. We're going to be paying almost $50 million in the year 2024. You know, 10% is too much.
Well, you know, I think back of 5 years ago when I first started getting pretty involved going to city council meetings, and I just always rings that Mr. Cad was bringing all these predictions up. By 2020, we were going to be doubling. The city was going to not be able to afford this, and no one wanted to listen.
Well, that's right.
Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. This isn't going to be true. Patrick Jones had brought up these same points, and no one wanted to listen. And now we're here, and they're trying to blame us for their mistakes, and they want us to pay more money. They want us...
Well, you know,
They just increased... Did you see they just increased building fees for the city of Reading?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you're wrong about one thing. They're not blaming us. They just don't bring the subject up. You bring it up, they look at you like a couple of deer in headlights, and your 3 minutes is up, Mr. Gardner. Thank you.
That's true. That's true. Although I've got an email here that I want to read real quick, because this is from Julie Winter. And this is a response to Michael DeQuisco. He sent an email out because of the Henderson Open Space that Carl Brott had brought up all these, you know, problems we were having. And this was Julie's response, is we really need the county to open up an ARC or some sort of low-level facility where RPD can drop people off and they can't walk out, which I agree. If you could get Dale Ball and other citizens to rally around something like that, then you'd be going after a substantive solution. What really cracks me up is obviously Julie is not paying attention or going to any of these meetings, or she would see that we were all rallying behind Michael Johnson's plan. We were everybody was up at the supervisors meeting in support of it. Where was she?
Well, she was out at the Church of Supernatural Ministry being a senior pastor, I suspect.
Oh, were they serving Kool-Aid that day?
Hey, isn't there a line getting blurred between government and church with her being the city mayor?
I think we've went past blurring lines lately.
You know, here's a deal about Sacramento. Last year at the behest of Darrell, the city, the mayor, the city voters passed Measure U, extending a half-cent sales tax that was due to expire and adding another half-cent levy. Independent analysis, including this column, pointed out, however, that by the city's own estimates, its mandatory payments to the California public employees' retirement systems are expected to increase from $81 million to $129 million by 2023, thus consuming the additional $40 million that Measure U would generate. There you go, doublespeak. You know, this is going to, this is going to give us public safety. This is going to, hey, we've got to go to a break. I'm getting wound up. I'm going to go have me a Rolaid or something. Anyway, I'm sure Ashley has some really good music. Let's rock out, Ashley.
KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Life is about what you put into it. It's also about what you leave out. That's why we serve ham with no antibiotics, ever. Wholesome by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Go big or go home. What kind of choice is that? Go big and stay home with Jersey Mike's, delivered by Uber Eats. Having it all by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river, I cry a river over you.
Good morning. We are back here, and the phone lines are open, 605-4567. Give us a call, and we'll see if we can get you at least a halfway educated answer. What do you think, Nick?
Boy, I'll tell you, every time I think too much, I get myself in trouble. That's why I quit drinking. Hey, yeah, I've got a quote here from Thomas Swall that really lays it out. You know, it is hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong.
Wow.
Isn't that about the truth? You know, our supervisors, our city council, look at Stillwater. You know, they can't even give a lot away.
Well, they just raised all these building fees. There's absolutely no way that someone's going to come here and build. I think Cameron Middleton made the best plea, I guess you'd call it, to the city council when they were going to raise these fees. He said, you know, when you want people to stop smoking, you raise taxes on cigarettes. When you've got people that are drinking too much and you want to slow down the drinking, you raise taxes on alcohol. So basically, by raising these fees, it's just a tax. So by raising the tax on building, all you're going to do is slow economic growth. And I was really disheartened that the three ladies, especially Aaron Reznor, who's a business person, would not see that all this is going to do is slow our economic growth down.
You know, I've got to disagree about one thing. If you're going to raise taxes on alcohol, people will get quit drinking. No, they'll just make their own. I got a neighbor of mine. I've got a loquat tree in my house, and it's ripe. And he came down, and he says, you know, when I was about 15, and old Greg's 70 or 72 now, he says, when I was about 15, we had these in, and this one old guy, he says, you know, we could make some brandy out of that. So they did. You know, this guy had a meter, and they fixed it up, and they made him, I don't know, a big bunch of brandy. And he says, you know, that was the worst taste in alcohol I ever had, but we drank her all.
Well, that's kind of like what, in jail, it's Pruno?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I haven't spent any time in jail, but I think I have that. But let's get back to some other things here. Here, I saw this in, I think it was on Reading Crime 2.0. In fact, if you want to know what's going on in Reading on the crime scene, don't bother picking up the Record Searchlight. They don't report much. Go to Reading Crime 2.0, the new Reading Crime page. Take back Reading, and I think there's some more on there. But one of them, there was a deal on there that said to report shopping carts that are abandoned. You know what? That's stolen property. That's not an abandoned shopping cart. They need to enforce that. If they started enforcing, that's one of the things we could crack down on as misdemeanors.
Okay, and we, our group, back when we first started cleaning up all the trash, how are they getting it all here? Well, they're getting here with shopping carts. And we actually worked with Brent Weaver, and he was the only council member that really wanted to listen to us about that. And then Gary Cout also helped us out. And we sat down and we actually stole a shopping cart ordinance from another city in California because it's a common problem. Under current law, it is stolen property, but companies like Safeway and Walmart will not press charges because, you know, they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to get sued. So if a city makes a tough shopping cart ordinance that it's a misdemeanor to have said shopping cart off said property, no matter what, doesn't matter what they do because you're breaking that ordinance and it is a misdemeanor. And we have a very good shopping cart ordinance here.
Yes.
And it used to be enforced when we first got it going, and lately it's been kind of going a little south, it seems.
Well, it seems like all the laws we pass go south after a while. Remember when they made it against the law to talk on your phone while you're driving? Or you sit at a stoplight and watch the people drive by talking on their cart. The fun never ends. You know, I'm starting to think that the way the state government is catering to the criminals, catering to the illegal aliens, don't even want to call them that. That's a slur. I'm wondering if they aren't trying to push us law-abiding citizens over the edge to where we start shooting, to where we start beating them up, to where we have vigilance going out. In fact, speaking of vigilance, I was talking to a guy, and I know who it is, but I'm not a name dropper. He's a very reliable source of information. Down in Cottonwood, they had a guy move in next to Evergreen School out, I think it's out Bowman Road. If it's not Bowman, it's Gas Point Road.
Bowman Road.
And this homeless guy moved in out there, and then he used the flower planter as a toilet, not a urinal, as a toilet. And the Cowboys that night, they hooked up a cattle trailer, and they went out there, and they loaded him in that cattle trailer with all his belongings, and they took him to Red Bluff and told him not to come back. Well, you know what? They kidnapped him. Can you imagine the DA getting a hold of that? I mean, come on. That's kidnapping, among other charges.
Well, you know, you get to the point, though, that you're just so fed up. I mean, I can tell you in my neighborhood, we're under constant siege there in the Henderson Open Space. I've been to city council. I've begged. I've pleaded with them, and I get zero response. They say, oh, we're going to do a sweep. They send two CSOs out that are not sworn officers who cannot arrest anybody. You know,
I'm not personally going to do anything, but I can tell you some of my neighbors are getting to the point that they're just so fed up, I'm afraid something really bad is going to happen.
You know, I was talking to a fellow that lives on Henderson Road, Philip. I was hoping he'd call in. He told me that he had his hand in his pocket with his gun screaming at this criminal homeless guy who had a screwdriver was coming at him. Don't do it. Don't do it. I said, did you report this to police? He laughed at me. Come on, Nick. It makes you wonder how many crimes, how many times people have been threatened that haven't bothered to call the police.
Oh, it's constant. My neighbor across the street, she's got video of a guy checking door handles, going into all the neighbor's house, you know, at 2, 3 in the morning. We've called the police on this guy because we still see him wandering down the road, casing out all our houses. We call and we call and we call, and they have done zero.
But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is you don't call the police and report that. Even if they don't show up, even if you do it over the computer, it counts. You know,
exactly.
The police can say, oh, well, crime went down. This is all we had reported. Well, hell, there might be another 60 or 70% reportable crimes out there that you didn't waste your time on. I know my cars have been gone through a couple of times and changed stolen and that kind of stuff. I didn't call the police.
Underreporting is a big problem because people are just fed up.
Hey.
And if you think about it, there's 461 incorporated cities in California under all these same rules.
Yeah.
And Redding is 422nd.
Yeah.
So why are 421 cities doing better than us? And that's with these underreported. Yeah. Imagine if they were all reported. We were probably 450.
Well, in my opinion, it's lack of jail space. But, you know, you've
got...
That's
our number one problem. That is our number one problem.
I'm real hesitant to call the police when something's missing because usually about a week later I remember where I put it or I stumble across it. That's part of getting
old. Right there with you, buddy.
Anyway, well, let's move on. Hey, you know, there's a guy that used to call from San Diego once in a while. I wish he'd call in and let us know what's going on down there. Our number is 530-605-4567. We're coming to you from the great state of Jefferson. You know, getting back to property damage, here's another one that should really disturb people. Say you're a single mom with two kids. You're working a job, barely paying the rent. You've got an old junk car. Some guy steals it, takes off, hits somebody, totals your car. They come and tow it and store it. And they come and tell the single mother, well, here's where your car is. You're going to have to pay tow fees and storage fees. It's ruined. You're not going to get it back. And, well, you know, he had a drug problem. We're going to rehab him, and he's going to rejoin society. Boy, I'll bet that makes her feel good.
We see this all too often, especially a lot of these, you know, a lot of people that are young, single parents.
Sure.
Are driving early Hondas because they're cheap, and they're also one of the easiest stolen cars. And that goes back to some more stats. We're the fourth most stolen cars in the nation.
Oh, boy.
And we're all paying for it. Our insurance rates just keep going up. My vehicle keeps going down in value as it gets older, but my insurance rate just keeps going up and going up and going up.
So is your registration fees.
Exactly. But these insurance companies know that we're the fourth highest stolen cars in the United States, so they're going to raise our rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, I've got a neighbor named Vicky, and she's got anxiety and, you know, nervous all the time. And how she feel about when her neighbors get burglarized over there? The poor gal's afraid to come outside. And she's a victim, even though she hasn't been a crime. This stuff just goes on day and day and day, day long, and we're not being represented. We need our representatives to represent us.
We definitely need our representatives to stop worrying about raises and spending $3.9 million on AstroTurf at the soccer park, and we need to start taking public safety and the true hardworking taxpaying citizens putting their priorities first.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I can't believe where our country is. You know, there's a couple of L.A. officers that have got typhoid fever from homeless. You know, we've got these diseases coming up from third world countries. We've got all this garbage around. If it wasn't for you, Dale, I think the rat population would be about 10 times higher than it is right now. And I'm not talking about the criminals. You
well,
know?
Yeah, sadly, I read that article yesterday right before I went down to do the cleanup in Anderson and kind of had me thinking. But, you know, there were some pretty smart guys back in the 15th, 16th century
who figured out that, you know, if you don't crap where you eat, you don't crap where your water supplies are, that some of these diseases will go away. And for years, a lot of these diseases have been away for, you know, centuries.
Yeah.
And now we're getting these 15th, 16th century diseases coming back because cities are allowing these people just to defecate right where they're eating. There's no sanitary conditions whatsoever. And it's going to get to a point that nobody is going to be able to clean up these messes. Our volunteers are not going to be able to do it anymore because it's just going to get to the point it's going to become so unsanitary.
You're going to have a hazmat suit.
And that's how right now the city of Redding, there's certain areas that they bring in Build Right, Clean Right, or one of these companies with their full suits on to clean up.
And the taxpayers are paying for that.
Yes.
And I know those toxic cleanup people, they're not cheap to hire.
Oh, no. Not at all.
You know, I proposed a dedicated camp spot in Redding and putting in portable toilets and wash stations and a dumpster. And if you're going to camp in Redding, this is the only place you're welcome to camp. Now, people didn't like that idea.
I'm one that's against that. I watched them do it in Eureka, and it turned into a nightmare. They tried it in San Jose, and it turned into a nightmare.
Well, you know, Dale, think about this. If we had a new jail to lock up the criminals, maybe it might work a little bit better with the homeless people that do have some morals.
If we had more bed space to hold the people accountable, it probably would right now under the current conditions.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, but it was a thought. I mean,
Henderson Open Space, we've got porta-potties, we've got three dumpsters, and it's still a nightmare.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer is. Maybe retroactive abortion for some of them. Hey, we're going to go to a break. We're here at KCNR.
90.5 FM, 1460 AM.
The great state of Jefferson.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Mamma Mia is coming to the historic Cascade Theater stage June 14th through the 22nd. A mother, a daughter, three possible dads, and a trip down the aisle you'll never forget. The storytelling magic of ABBA's timeless music propels this enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship with explosive dance numbers and songs. Come see Mamma Mia at the Cascade Theater June 14th through the 22nd. Tickets are on sale now. Call 243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow.
Good morning. We're back here at KCNR. Phone lines are open. 605-4567.
And you know what? I'm starting to think it is an impossible dream to get a handle on this crime problem that we've got.
No, I mean, we, like I said, there's 421 cities doing it better than we are. All we have to do is start looking at the ones at the top of the list and figuring out what they're doing and start duplicating it. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
And how come somebody hasn't done that? Why hasn't somebody stepped up and say, this is what we need to do?
You know, we've brought a lot of solutions to them at meeting after meeting. I've heard you come there and offer solutions. I've heard hundreds of other citizens. But like you said, most of the time they've already got their decision made before they ever get up there, and they just rubber stamp whatever staff tells them, and they're done.
Hey, Jimmy, when are you going to call in and tell us about the thing that happened up at the nail salon up there, Placer, up by the Holiday Market? I'm counting on you, Home Skillet. So, anyway, if you want to know about how successful housing the homeless is, just Google Housing First, and there's a few websites that come up, and they have a negative opinion that housing...
problems with Housing First.
Okay, we got somebody on the phone. I can't read it from here.
That is Morton on the line.
Hey, Morton, what's shaking, buddy?
How do you do, buddy? I got a little bit of a remark here because I'm so hard to hearing. I'm just going to say, and you were talking about church and state, so I've got a little statement here. Is the Protestant church is to teach morality and truth, and then we, the people, must demand morality and truth from the government. So that is the state. So this idea of separation of church and state is a satanic commie lie. We got to have truth from both organizations, the church and the state. And if the church and the state don't promote morality and truth, those individuals will see condemnation of the Creator lawgiver in the lake of fire. It's just as that simple. There's no such thing as separation of church and state. The church should be running, controlling, or overlooking the state. That's all there is to it. And thanks for your radio program.
Hey, Mort, I'm hoping that the church of, or the Lake of Fire has an overlook like El Capitan, and we can just march them off it.
Well, they ought to repent. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, buddy. I don't know what the answer is. You know, we need to get back to our morals. There's Jimmy. Anyway, you know, honesty is not rewarded anymore. It doesn't seem like and when somebody deceives you, they're lying to you. And we see so much of that deception going on.
Far too much. Jimmy, what do you got for us?
I don't know. I heard you mention my name, so I wanted to call in and yeah, it wasn't a nail salon, but yes, up here on Upper Placer, some guy barged into a business with two young ladies that were working there and was swinging a chain around saying he's going to kill them. And they called the police. And the police, when they got there in a pretty good amount of time, they told those girls, they said, it's a good thing you didn't confront him because he's HIV positive and he likes to bite people.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's on our streets.
And this, I mean, this is happening all through Reading. That's just one incident of it.
Those poor ladies, and I mean, you think about it every day now when they go to work, the fear that they live in.
Yeah. What if that was your wife or your daughter working there?
Exactly. And our citizens should not have to put up with this.
No, and that leads me, I don't want to take up too much of you guys' time, but I did want to call and say that when this first proposal of the,
Navigation Center?
Yeah, I was really staunchly against it. And then when Captain Johnson from Anderson threw out the
accountability
center for it, yeah, I was like, okay, well, there's 60 beds that will maybe kind of do something, and I was for it, but... Folks, we have been talking for years and years about getting more bed space in our jails. Years and years. Everybody has.
That's absolutely right.
The city council, the county board of supervisors, and now with your, your pitch, what is left to to debate about. We need to do this. And your first caller, Matt, he does have a very good point that we do not trust our Board of Supervisors or our City Council because they are going to put it into some slush fund or whatever and do what, you know, we don't trust them. So if we get what they call in England a hypothenated tax that is earmarked precisely for this jail, we could remedy a lot of this problem.
You are correct.
I'm just so...
And I think we can trust the county at least a little more than the city. I mean, we've seen the city just spending ridiculously. I would say like a drunken sailor, but at least when a drunken sailor runs out of money, he stops spending it.
Well, right, I think with Julie Winters, she's drunk on religion.
And Nick had a good point, too, earlier. I was with him when he pitched his idea to the Board of Supervisors. And there was about a third of them who weren't even looking at him or even the other people that were speaking. They were looking down at their cell phones, like, looking at their watch. Okay, are you done yet? You know, go away, peasants. It was just, you know, these people need to get on board and take care of our county and the citizens of this county.
Well,
let you go.
No, don't take off yet. They need to represent us like we elected them to do. We didn't elect them to tell us how things are going to be and this is what we're going to do. But you know what Mike Johnson brought up, and it's the first time I heard anybody in a position of authority say this, is that they are shipping homeless and derelicts and ne'er-do-wells to Reading from out of the area. He had talked to a person from out of the area that he didn't want to acknowledge, drop their name. And then Chris Solberg, he's an advocate for the homeless, and he called up one of the shows a week or so ago, and he mentioned that he's seen a lot of strange faces down at the homeless camps. And why don't you tell us about your survey you did?
I did a survey, 5 months ago. I went down to some of these homeless camps, and I did a survey, and basically, I'm going to make the long story short, only 7 out of 25 people were from Shasta County. The rest were from L.A., the Bay Area, Oregon. There was actually somebody from out of state in the Midwest. I mean...
Definitely not people, the false narrative that our leaders, especially people like Kristen Schrader, are making where they say they're all from here.
All right. Here's another thing. This town is dependent a lot on, people coming here for vacation, right, because this is a beautiful area. Well, drive under Cypress Street Bridge on I-5, right where people, you know, go, oh, this is Reading. Let's get off the freeway and check it out. Look under the bridge there. It's stained with just garbage, and it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, and they hang out over there by Circle K because they know the tourists come in there, and they're going to be easy targets. Most of us citizens don't leave anything in our cars because we know, but the tourists come in, and they've got a whole cars full of stuff, and they can just rob them blind. And this has been going on for years. We just had a couple that got $30,000 worth of camera equipment stolen there at Black Bear Diner.
Oh, gee, $30,000?
Yep. Yeah. They were tourists coming through. I mean, well, look at the poor guy that showed up here to stop at In-N-Out with all those dogs, and his whole vehicle full of dogs gets stolen. I mean, and they think somehow we can spend all this money marketing our way out of Reading. You can't market this bad publicity out. How you fix this bad publicity
is to
stop the crime.
Okay. Look up the reviews on Yelp of Reading.
I've done that.
Oh, I challenge every person out there listening to this show to go on to Yelp and look at the reviews of Reading. They are very unsavory, and they're not good.
Hey, there was a website called Bumville, and it got on Reading pretty bad.
Well, remember there used to be that website. It was Crumbling Reading, I believe. And whoever was writing that had an inn in the city or something because they knew a lot of stuff. And it was kind of funny that all of a sudden that website – the URL was gone, everything.
Hey, you know what? That reminds me about the Aquatic Center. Remember, they were having some pretty big meets, people from coming all over from California and Oregon. This one guy said they're never coming back because of the bums and because they were afraid, the kids were afraid to go walking. I think some of them were confronted.
Yeah, well, that guy from Shingletown was down there handing out all the free clothes and everything the same day they were having the meet.
Oh, boy.
One of the do-gooders. And so then all the people were over there harassing all the people from out of town.
Yeah.
Well, look at our main thoroughfare from I-5 into downtown Reading. If you're driving west on Cypress Avenue and you go across a bridge and you look to your left, oh, wow, what is this? Is that a campsite? I mean, is this a KOA? No, it's not.
That's my
backyard.
It's a
drug-infested homeless camp. And let me, before I get off the air, the other thing is we need to remedy the source of these drugs coming in, because that is one of the main issues that we need to take care of, because a lot of these drugs that are peddled to these homeless people, and I'm going to say this one time and never say it again, are coming from some of these neighborhoods that are skirting these homeless camps.
Yep. We have a drug deal
anyway,
in our neighborhood.
With that said, gentlemen, great show. I'll let you go.
Hey, thanks for calling, Jim.
Thanks, and we need to go to break here. KCNR.
I think Redding's cure to the drug problems to legalize marijuana. Let's hear some music, little sis.
Let me run with you tonight. I'll take you on a moonlight ride. There's someone I used to see, but she don't give a damn for me. Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too alone to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends. Place piled high with happiness. Laughter time, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see. Hey, hey, Black Bear feels like home.
back here, Monique. What do you got cracking for us?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
How are we going?
Damn good with a capital D. How about you, little sister? What's shaking?
Damn good over here with a huge capital D. No, I've been listening to you guys, and I tried to call in earlier. I apologize that I had to go, and I've been listening. Now, for whatever reason, I've been engaged, and I've been trying to go to most of county board meetings and city council meetings.
Oh, I know who you are now, Monique. I'm the guy who speaks his mind. It's going good. I'm happy to hear from you. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. So I am actively, I'm pragmatic about it, trying to get something to change. Now, in the realm of social services, it's, for me, a jail diversion plan that is hugely important. Or I guess that wouldn't be social services, jail diversion. And every time I go to speak, the last time I was at city council, Christian Schrader said, and I quote, she's waiting for the board to tell her what to do. And that bothered me because every time I go in and I talk about choices and options and we've got to make changes, I can't give people direction, but I try to inspire with my words. I try to get people to think broader about this multifaceted issue we face. And when she told me she was waiting for them to respond immediately, because my mind works very fast, in my mind I thought to myself, you sit on these boards and you vote yay or nay, but I don't know what sort of action you're taking. When the California Keep California Safe Act came out and there was an opportunity to walk on behalf of that act, I knocked on doors, I got signatures, I went to businesses and got signatures, I turned it to the state of California. I am actively trying to change things. That is what this community needs. Now, as far as the jail goes, the very first person I went to speak to was Mr. Basenko, because I thought it was going to be, let's get the jail up and running and make more beds because we've got this huge crime problem. But the more I went out there, the more I realized a ton of individuals are overwhelmed by life. Now, life is about choices and options, but when those choices become too many and the options become too great, it gets overwhelming. Now, I am somebody.
Let me break in, please, just for a second.
Go for it, because I'll keep talking.
You're absolutely right. But you know what? When they get overwhelmed and they commit a crime, they need to be punished for that crime. And when they get put in jail, they won't be overwhelmed anymore. And, you know, they'll get dried out. And maybe, you know, we could have psychiatric help in there. We could have counseling help in there.
Okay.
And
my
that
turn.
Might be the best thing. Go ahead, Monique.
Okay. I heard you. Now hear me. So by putting an individual – now, see, a lot of people are contrary and defiant. Now, those individuals who want to keep committing crimes and impeding on my right to live my life, your right to live your life, those individuals need transformative behavioral therapy. And it just very well might have to come through the jail part of it. But the reality is there are a ton of people with a ton of failure to appear. And if we can have a place where we can help these individuals take care of some of these legal issues, it will make them feel better about themselves. And then if they could see the hope and the potential of what life has to offer because they're taking care of some of their past offenses, I'm telling you right now, it's a beautiful thing when an individual starts to realize their potential.
That's
now,
right.
The ones, you guys have had conversations, I'm not sure. I've got so many things I want to say on my mind. But the point is, the very first person I went to talk to was Basenko. And when I spoke to him, I felt like a lot was said, but nothing was said. Because I was like, hey, why don't we have a sober center? He's like, well, I tried to push for it. And I went back and looked through the county board meetings. That push was not very hard. So I thought to myself, if I'm going to push, then I've got to go to every meeting and make my point heard. Now, some things I think abstract and I can't pull myself together. The point is, there are individuals unsheltered, living on the street, who've done not a whole lot of crimes, but have failure to appear, citations because of being in parks, and we need to help them. and they need shelter. They need nutrition. They need behavioral help. And you got this next group that is addicted to opioids and other narcotics on the streets. Now, they need the beginnings of transformative behavioral health. And we need to make this brain failure, I think of it as, is not like heart failure. It's not like you can give them a pill, tell them not to exercise, and you'll do better in life. This is about people falling into dark mental chasms. When I say a dark chasm, chasm is the deepest thing I can think of, and it's the darkest, coldest place.
Hey, Monique.
Yes.
What are you going to do with the methamphetamine addicts that don't have any brain cells left?
Oh, boy. So,
hey,
okay,
listen.
Will you ask me a question? Can I have an opportunity to express what I would do?
No, I'm the boss here. I'm paying for this line. Oh, go ahead, Monique. I'm just teasing.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Okay.
Something I wanted to add in really quick there, Monique. A lot of those things you just stated, we have that help at the mission. There's tons of programs.
You know what
the
problem with the mission is? I actually put myself through the mission. Stood in line at the services. I dressed where I looked like somebody who's hard on life, which is normally what I don't look like at the boards. And I went in there and I asked for help. You know what they told me? I was going to have to walk down to Breslauer. And I said, but what if I can't make it to there because I'm so stressed out? And the lady was like, well, that's not my problem. Now, see, here's the problem at the mission. They all want to do so much and so good for Mr. Jonathan Anderson that they this objective in mind. And the way to communicate that objective to these homeless individuals who might be drunk in the moment, I'm telling you right now, it is the way people talk to people. What we need is to realize how we're trying to communicate these services. The other day, I put on the video where some lady from the mission yelling at her, and I'm thinking to myself, now, if that was a conversation I was having with somebody, voices don't need to be raised. And if we can just reach in as to the situation at hand, which was the lady something about a shower.
Monique.
When I went, I put my...
We're dragging this out a little here.
Am I? Okay. My point is, it's the way we talk to people.
I want to make my point, Monique.
Wait. I went to go get dental help at the mission the other day. They don't have dental there till July, but they're offering it as a service. You think there's a service somewhere and you finally reach that point to go get that service and it's not there, that is disheartening, and that is a block in your road, and you don't know what to do.
We got to go, Monique. We're running out of time. As a taxpayer, I want safety. That's what I want first.
I want safety, too.
And then we can work on those problems. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling. I mean, we are running out of time.
We are, and I wanted to get back to the last caller. He was bringing up the fact that we have a lot of these drug houses right next to these open spaces who are basically just selling all of the people that are illegally camping, trashing our neighborhoods, the drugs. We have one in our neighborhood, the Fruits House. It's been a problem for years and years. One brother has been arrested 20 times. The other has been arrested 40 times. This has been turned over to code enforcement here in the city of Reading over a year ago. There's still people living in sheds. They rent out to all the druggies to stay on their property. They are wandering up and down our neighborhood, checking car handles. We've got them on video doing it, and the city just refuses to address the problem.
You know, one of those Fruit Brothers stole Tim's laptop or his cell phone or his tablet, whatever it was. He's a barber down at Cypress Square Barbershop. And Tim had the app, and he traced it all over, watched where he went. He was all over the garden track, and then he took it on down to the Fruit Brothers. It was one of the Fruit Brothers. He told the police that's where it was. And I don't know if he got it recovered or not. I know when they finally did raid the place, they found tons and tons of stolen property down there.
NPU has been doing a great job coming down there, hitting the place, and arresting the people. But then they turned it over to code enforcement to deal with the other issues, and I guess they're too busy harassing legitimate businesses all around town about their signs.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We've had a rockin' good time here, a rockin' good time.
Yes, we have. I'm going to head to the Strawberry Festival and get me some strawberries and ice cream.
Have a great day, everyone.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe. Freedom is the only thing. Me the
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.